and welcome back to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series that keeps you updated with our ever-changing industry. For those of you that have been watching the series for a while now, you know how this goes, but for those that are new, welcome. We'll be covering the latest in manufacturing, packaging, coating, sustainability, and much more. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll discuss topics ranging from companies being unprepared for EPR legislation, to revising the animal welfare claims process, to Walmart fortifying its meat supply chain, and finally, the USDA investing millions into agriculture. So, starting off, with major industry players like Coca-Cola and Frito-Lay joining the sustainability movement, you would think that other industry giants would be ready to join the movement too. And yet it seems that nearly two-thirds of U.S. companies are not yet prepared for extended producer responsibility legislation, also known as EPR legislation. So, what is EPR? It typically refers to laws requiring product producers to fund programs or organizations intended to collect, recycle, and otherwise manage packaging. This, of course, comes with fees depending on the volume and packaging used. In the United States, just Maine, Oregon, Colorado, and California passed EPR laws on packaging at the end of 2022. However, that may change in 2023 as many other states are looking to join the list following bills announced last year. Across the U.S., over 30 bills relating to EPR and packaging have been introduced, and while they may be only applicable at the state level, on the federal level, Congress is considering two EPR bills. It seems that the U.S. is a little late to the party, seeing as though many countries around the world have had EPR regulations in place for the past several years. In fact, Germany was the first to implement these types of laws around 40 years ago. Since then, these regulations have spread to other European countries, Canada, Asia, and even South America. Even though everyone is seeing the positive impacts that EPR legislation is making, just over a third of the 60 executive participants in a PMMI survey said their business was looking at the impact of EPR legislation in their own operation, while 63% have not considered it at all. Some business owners have gone on to say, "We've just recently started to understand EPR, not to the point where we understand the impact." Others have said, "We work with our private label co-manufacturers to ensure that we are in compliance. We're calculating the financial implications of potential U.S.-wide legislation." While some companies are still hesitant, some participants noted that the post-consumer recycled content and recyclable materials will become more important in the future and pointed to potentially positive outcomes from EPR regulations. Within the next couple of months and years, we're sure to see the positive impact when implementing EPR regulations. It seems that extended producer responsibility isn't the only thing in the industry that's getting some new legislation. In fact, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said it hopes to weed out false or misleading animal welfare claims on meat and poultry packaging thanks to new guidance and testing. If you've shopped at the store recently, then you'll know that pasture-raised, humanely raised, and raised without antibiotics are increasingly popular phrases amongst consumers. Not only are they popular, but they allow producers to charge a premium. For example, Purdue charges $5.78 per pound for their free-range, no-antibiotic chicken breast, while store brands that don't make these claims sell for $2.79 per pound. Both meat producers and animal welfare advocates say that the USDA is inadequately substantiating the claims or ensuring they meet customer expectations. The USDA lets producers define some terms like humane, which can lead to widely varying conditions for animals. For instance, other claims like free range are clearly defined by the USDA, but some producers are skirting requirements. This is an issue because the USDA is responsible for approving all animal welfare claims on meat and poultry labels before products can be sold. Although, it seems that producers have found a loophole. Organic claims are verified in person by government regulators. However, animal welfare claims are substantiated with paperwork submitted to the USDA. The USDA doesn't have regulatory authority to check animal welfare claims on farms, according to the USDA's Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety, Sandra Esken. Esken also goes on to say that the USDA plans to update its guidelines to require more documentation from companies making animal welfare claims. It will also strongly encourage companies to hire third-party verification groups such as Human Farm Animal Care. To prove the no antibiotics claim, the USDA also plans to explore new testing that can find traces of antibiotics in animals once they arrive at processing plants. Esken goes on to say that the agency may also update definitions of certain claims, a change some producers have been pressing for. Producers like Purdue Foods are asking the USDA to clarify the difference between free-range and pasture-raised, since the agency uses the terms interchangeably, even though free-range chickens may roam in dirt or shrubs and not necessarily pasture. We're glad to see that the USDA is cracking down on an industry that heavily affects consumers like you and me. You can find just about everything at Walmart, and now you'll be able to find Walmart brand quality beef as well. Recently, Walmart has announced their first owned and operated case-ready beef facility, which is set to open in 2025. The new facility is set to open in Olathe, Kansas, and it's an important milestone for this giant retailer as they continue to build a more resilient supply chain and identify ways to increase access to high-quality Angus beef. The new facility will offer greater visibility into its supply chain to fulfill the demand for quality beef while creating more than 600 Walmart jobs for the Olathe community. The new facility was first announced back in 2019 with the goal of providing more options for customers seeking higher quality meat. Since then, strategies have been implemented to ensure that customers can purchase excellent beef that deliver tremendous value. All of this was made possible thanks to last year's equity investment in Sustainable Beef LLC. The new facility in Kansas will be able to package and distribute a selection of Angus cuts from Sustainable Beef LLC in North Platte, Nebraska, to serve their stores across the Midwest. Walmart's belief is that the way that customers shop for food has evolved over the past few years, with more seeking greater transparency in the supply chain. The goal is to ensure that high-quality products are being delivered, as well as to increase the transparency, resiliency, and capacity through the supply process, all while meeting increased customer demand.
The beef is all that we've been talking about on the segment, but now we're going to be switching it over to the agriculture industry. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is funding agricultural producers and food businesses with millions of dollars in investment funds to improve markets, create and strengthen jobs, control food prices, and improve nutrition. Secretary Tom Vilsack said, "We're here to underscore the important role that local and regional food systems play for the American agriculture and farmers, and to announce $320 million worth of loans and grants, which are designed to strengthen the supply chain, to make the food system more resilient, and to create a number of opportunities for mid and small-sized operators." Secretary Vilsack also goes on to say, "Thanks to our partnership with federal officials, we're making significant progress in tackling food insecurity and leading the way in developing new approaches to create more healthy food options in our city." So, who has received the funds already? North Country Growers in New Hampshire has received $19.9 million in guaranteed loans to build and operate a 20-acre hydroponic greenhouses to grow lettuce and other leafy greens year-round. This is in hopes of growing 30 million heads of lettuce for sale to local grocery stores and restaurants and distribution throughout the Northeast. Not only are funds being created, but the efforts will also support 84 jobs. For instance, a meat market and bison processing facility will expand production capabilities. Strengthening market opportunities has an economic benefit for small and mid-sized producers. And you know what that means. More market opportunities means more competitive prices, which ultimately means we can expect to save some money in the near future.
Well, everyone, as you may recall, we just came back from EastPak and ExpoPak, so make sure to keep an eye out for all of our social media and website content that's to come. And trust me when we say that everyone is glad to be back. Like always, stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our We're Coding Everywhere tour. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys!